Hello, you're listening to Rift Valley Radio, podcast from the Rift Valley Institute. My name is Magnus Taylor. Today's episode is based on a research project called Displaced Tastes, carried out in South Sudan in partnership with our colleagues from the Catholic University. The project examines the changing taste for food in South Sudan. It asks deceptively simple but important questions like, what are people eating? Where do they buy or obtain this food? And how has this changed over time? We ask these questions to help us understand more about South Sudan's economic transition and how it trades with its neighbours, as well as the social and cultural implications of this. Displaced Tastes is part of the Cross-Border Local Research Network, a five-year project aimed at developing a better understanding of the causes and implications of conflict in the border areas of Northeast Africa, the Middle East and Asia. You can find out more about the Cross-Border Local Research Network at riftvalley.net. Today, we're speaking with Elizabeth Nyebol. She worked with the Rift Valley Institute on a report called Migrating with Seeds, Women, Agricultural Knowledge and Displacement in South Sudan. In Nyebol's report, she wrote about her aunt, Mary Ajok. In the early 1980s, Mary was living in Rumbek with her family. But as Sudan's civil war intensified, she had to leave. After time spent in Wau and Khartoum, she eventually settled in Kassala. When Mary settled in Kassala, she planted some seeds. Seeds she had brought with her all the way from Rumbek in a small black bag.
She used one of the most important and special cloths that is known in the Dinka community, because early in the 90s, 20s, you know, Dinka people, these cattle keepers used to move naked. And the first cloth that emerged into our communities was the black cloth, and they show it. The Arab mentions actually came with a black cloth. This black cloth called kinchol is a piece of cloth that has been made by women. And when the war erupted in 1903, my auntie actually took that piece of cloth and she scooped.
Nibble's family is dominated by women, of which her Aunt Mary was known as a particularly formidable one. Her family also have many sets of twins, which made the Alenth Chol cloth a natural choice.
In my family, the family lineage, they have twins. Even my mother have twins. And this cage is used often when the celebration for twin is being done.
Nibel had often heard stories of her aunt growing up. And this is the story about how she travelled across the country with a bag that held seeds. Seeds to begin the next phase of her life. Nyebol began to look into it.
I think the main reason why people migrate with seeds and most of their own thing from their home is when people migrate, they expect to live the normal, you know, they want to begin with what they have and they want to, you know, still use what they have, because this, some of the grain or some of the locals, you know, food product, people can never change taste. And up to today, people still complain about the taste. So they migrate with the seed to begin their life with.
Grains are not just for nourishment, they play an important part in cultural life.
And most of the grain also define their lifestyles, define many, you know, many values, cultural values that people might live with in their lives. For instance, when my auntie migrated with that seed, it, wherever they were, despite of all the dispute that they were facing in their life, they were seeing grain, and any time they host any special gathering or occasion, they would use grain. So people migrate with grain because it is part of their life and it holds important, you know, value, cultural values in their life. And most of the people who migrated during displacement and they left out this, they struggled, you know, to settle with new life.
Nibble, in your report, you write that women in the Dinka community play an important role in seed collection and agriculture. How did that play out in your family and in Mary's story?
In my community and other communities, women, there are a lot, actually, first of all, in my community, the white, dark community of Dinka, there are division of labor, actually gender division of you know, roles. Roles are being divided according to gendered. There are roles that women played and there are roles that men played. And coming to seeds, women are responsible for storing seed. And during war also, it will be their roles. And also men sometimes, men who come from, you know, this agriculturalist or palmist kind of families, they would also play a role. But during wartime or during, you know, during a war or displacement, women have roles, and it is their role that women keep seats. And when they keep seats, when people are migrating, it is their role also to make sure that they carry seat to the new settlements where they are displaced to. So that is the role for women in my community.
In Nibal's community, seeds also play a large role in marriage and dowries. Nibal, can you tell me, because Dinka society is often thought of through the lens of cattle keeping, what role do seeds play around dowry payment?
Cattle keeping communities, for that matter, is that for the Dinkas, cattle can't go without grains. So they go together. So marriages that are done, people use cattle for dowries. Because these dowries are also collected from families, for that matter. For example, when two boys are born in a family and they have three sisters in that family, they will wait for these three sisters to be married with some cows, and they will use the same cows to marry. Now, there are families that are dominated by males, and they don't have sisters. So these families who are dominated by male or the male-headed families, they will be cultivating. They will be cultivating yearly to have surplus, because there are some other also families that have cattle, but they don't have time because they look after cattle. They don't have time to cultivate. So yearly, what they will do is that they might pick five good cows to exchange for sacks of grains. And these male-dominated families who have, you know, enough grains, they will exchange with these families that have cattle, cows for that. So this grain now that are cultivated yearly, someone will be, this family, three or five or four of them will be cultivating yearly. And then they give themselves 2 years or 3 years. They will do it together, and after they cultivate for 3 years and they have exchanged, the person in the family will marry. And then they will continue to cultivate until all of them finish. So this is one part of the role that grain plays in Dinka community for marriage. So families that are dominated by males will use grain to marry. They exchange grain to have cattle, and also they might use even cattle to have grain. And also grain play another big role, because in communities of Dinkas, they will sit down and they will assess. This is Manuel Luga Aquila, and he wants to marry a daughter of Mayom or Mayo. Is he a palmer? Because people don't give their daughters to people who are non-palmers, for that matter, because your daughter will die of hunger. They believe somebody who have grain and cattle is the best person. A life of grain and cattle made together. When you only concentrate on one, people will look at you like you are not a serious person. So it play another role in that case. For you to be recommended, you must have to be cultivating and you have cattle. Also, another big role that also grain play in marriages is that they are used for local beverages during marriages. They are being used for local beverages, and also some of this grain, for example, cash is used when people are married for the first introduction for the bridegroom to be introduced into the family of bride. So they will cook that special food from grain, and people will eat it, and the marriage will be welcome, successful, people will be happy, people will be dancing. And many other roles like naming ceremony in marriages, they can also be played by grain. So grain hold special cultural values in the Dinka community.
By the time that Nibal met her aunt, she had been displaced again and was living outside Juba. Even there, she had replanted her seeds.
She lives in Geda, and wherever she's living now, she cultivates this cage grain. And living areas in Geda area, people who are still getting married, or whenever people gathered before coronavirus, people were still invited her, because most of the returnees, they got some space. Most of the returnees from Khartoum, they got some space in the military, you know, barrack, and they are staying there. So most of the time they will gather over the weekends before coronavirus. One time I attended one of the occasions, and they did cultural exhibition, and she leads She's the team leader for that. And until today, she still cultivates grains. As we speak now, she has a small garden yard in her compound. So her life in Juba, she still carry on with the normal way of life that she was living in Kassala.
You can find Yabol's report, Migrating with Seeds, Women, Agricultural Knowledge and Displacement in South Sudan, on our website at riftvalley.net. You can also find us on Twitter at RVI News. You've been listening to Rift Valley Radio. This podcast is produced by the Rift Valley Institute, and I'm Magnus Taylor.